So we are starting a new series simply called The Power of God. Do you know the statement that, sometimes we say, making it up as you go? Yeah, I can understand that. Hear me out here. Oh, great. What are we getting into here? I didn't do any preparation this week. I'm just going to wing it. That's not what this is. But even in our last series, usually when we're in a series, I have a sense the Lord has led me to the next series or possibly the series after that. And I had been seeking the Lord and struggling with what this next series is. And I felt like God had given me a direction. Okay, a little bit of a direction. It's like, let's talk about flying. Well, what type of flying? We can talk about rockets and planes and catapults and birds. There's so many different things. And so I felt like God has kind of given a direction, and I was trying to put words to it. And the word is the power of God. And when that settled in my heart, I'm like, yes, all right. We're going to talk about the power of God. Okay, what specifically, God, do you want to talk about? Crickets. Okay. All right, so what's the series going to look like, God? What topics in this? What messages do you want me to bring? And I just sensed him saying, trust me, we'll find our way through it. All right, so here we go. We're gonna take this thread, and we're going to start pulling on it. Do you ever do that? You just pull on a thread, and then you think you're good, and then, you don't have half of your shirt in the back. We want to pull on this thread. And we want to figure out where it leads. But I know God has something for each of us. I know that we need an understanding of the power of God. So we're going to start with a verse. This is not like the theme verse of this. As you read, you're going to be like, huh? So this is not the theme verse, but this is the beginning of the thread that we want to pull on. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to Matthew. Matthew chapter 27, I read out of the New Living Translation, and this is a little bit fitting because we just got out of Easter, and so this kind of, as we finished one series of Can You Imagine, and we ended on the cross, we ended with Jesus, we ended with that story, well, we'll just pick up right there and see what the next direction is that God has. So Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Let's pray. Lord, I need you. I need to hear from you, and I believe we all need to hear from you, Lord. And so you have a direction, and you have a truth, and you have understanding to reveal. And Lord, I pray you reveal it. Reveal it today and as we go through the series, however long it is. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit into this place. And I pray you speak to us, Lord. We want to understand you. We want to know you more and more. And I pray today is the start of that day. As we dig into your word, reveal it to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as many of you know, I have a building. I have a construction background. I was a carpenter. That sort of field was going to be my field before God called me to ministry. And I love construction. I love building. I love wood. I love doing all that stuff. And it's exciting with the construction project we have going on, which is going well. I can have my hands in it a little bit. We have the subcontractors coming out right now. We've got plumbers and electricians and HVAC just kind of working, kind of getting the structure of the building put together, and it's coming right along. And I enjoy it. One day I'm doing finances, or I've got meetings or counseling, and then I'm digging into the Word, and another day I'm driving all the way down to Milwaukee to pick up a lift. Or I'm swinging a hammer. I enjoy it. I love construction. And out of high school, that was my job. I worked for a contractor up in Spooner. And my first job was a little remod on a commercial building. And then they had a project of a house going on. And I remember after that, a lot of times we'd be wrapping up a project. The house is pretty much done. And a lot of times the boss would come out. He wouldn't swing the hammers. He was a designer, did other things. But he would come out and kind of tell us what the next project was on a Friday. And then he'd give us an address and maybe some directions, because this was before GPS. I know, I'm that old. Ugh. And so it's a lot of times we'd have our maps, you know, and it's somewhere over here in the middle of nowhere. Because we did lake houses, we did cabins, but they were not cabins. These were nice big houses. But a lot of times they were on a lake or they were in the middle of the woods. And so Monday you'd get up early and you'd drive a half an hour, 45 minutes to some lake you never knew existed. And you'd be driving along, and then you'd turn into a driveway, and it was barely a driveway, a little bit of gravel there, and you'd come through some trees, and there would be a clearing, and then a giant cement basement. And that's pretty much it. It was just a basement, just cement. And off to the side would be a big pile of wood. And that was the project. The wood represented the work that we had to accomplish. And then the foreman would show up, you know, in his leisurely time. And he had a big, you know, the old box Ford. And he'd pull up and we'd get out of our trucks and we'd go to the hood because we had nothing. We had no tables. And he'd pull out the blueprint. And he'd a lot of times go to the back and describe the building that we're going to build and highlight a few things, but not into the detail. So we can kind of see, we can imagine what we're going to build. But then we'd go back to page one and he'd start talking about, well, this is what we're going to do today to start to build. And from there, we would build. Here's a foundation. Here's a plan. Here's the materials. And we get to work. But you can't just get to work because you need tools in order to build. You need nail guns. You need saws. Right? And in order for those tools to work, and most definitely you need music. I'm not a big classic rock guy, but I probably know every single classic rock song because that was the music we were constantly playing. Unless Jeff was in charge, the guy who wore the cowboy boots and the cowboy hat, and it was country music, and I would be clawing at my ears. Anyways, so music, tools, music, these things require what? Electricity. Power to accomplish the work. Now, we weren't an Amish crew, you know, which, hey, that's all cool. You know, we needed electricity. We weren't Amish, but, you know, if you are, that's fine. More power to you. So we needed some form of power. We needed a generator, right? We needed some sort of temporary power until we had real power. And a generator was kind of limited in what we could do, right? We couldn't put a whole lot of load on a generator. And we were waiting until we were plugged in to real power, plugged into the power plant. We need power to accomplish the work upon the foundation that was laid according to the design of the builder. Are you hearing me this morning? We need power to accomplish the work upon the foundation that was laid according to the design of the builder. If you don't have a plan, you can't do work. If you don't have a foundation, there's no work. If you have no power, there is no work. Are you with me so far? Are you getting the picture? God the Father has a plan. There's a few different verses out there, but Habakkuk 2:14 tells us that God wants to fill the earth with his glory. That's his plan. That's his design. He wants every knee to bow, every tongue to confess. He wants the earth to be filled with his presence and his glory. He wants everyone to say, hallelujah, praise God. That's his plan. God the Son, Jesus, laid the foundation of this plan, according to 1 Corinthians 3:11. Jesus is our foundation. It was great when I turned that corner, went down the driveway. Oh, there was a cement basement. How did that get there? I don't know. I wasn't there for that, but it was laid. Jesus laid the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. So now there's work to do. Church, we got to get to work. But we need power to accomplish this plan. We need power to work. We need power to build. Okay, so then why did we read Matthew 27? Jesus on the cross. My God, why did you forsake me? Have you ever lost power in your house? Remember, what was it, about 4 years ago? 5 years ago? When we had the storms come through here. I think we were in town. We had no power for about maybe 2-3 days. Some of you, it was like a week or more without all the way. What do you do when you lose power for an extended period of time? You don't have lights. You're scrambling for candles. You don't have TV or internet. That's when the kids start crying, right? My tablet. Sometimes we can't cook. Sometimes we don't have heat in the house because we're without power. How do you feel like when there's no power in your house? Helpless, insecure, bored, hungry, powerless. Have you ever lost power in your life? Have you ever lost power in your life? I should feel like we're on the ocean right now and all the heads are bobbing. Have you ever lost power in your life? Have you ever been in a situation that you couldn't do anything about it? Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know what to do? I don't know, to go left, go right, stand still, go backwards. Have you ever not known what to do? How did you feel? How do you feel right now? You all know where I feel powerless. I feel powerless inside of a hospital. And I've told the stories over and over again. A hospital is a place where I feel that I'm powerless, that I'm hopeless, that I'm desperate. I don't even want to walk through a door because it's like there's a black hole on the other side. As soon as the doors open up, it's going to suck me in, and I have no idea what's going to happen, whether it's for me, my family, for others. I am fearful. You see, I associate a hospital with powerlessness. A hospital is a place of trauma for me. My thoughts change. My actions change. My heartbeat changes. My hope changes. I am powerless. And I don't like it. I don't like to be powerless. And I don't understand it either. How do I overcome? How do I get over this feeling, this panic, this powerlessness? What do we do when we feel powerless? What do we do? Well, first of all, if there's something, a place or a person that we feel powerless, we avoid them, right? That works. I'll just never go to a hospital the rest of my life. That might not work. We avoid things. We avoid people. Like, that'll make it better. This person, we have tension. I'll just pretend they don't exist. That'll fix it. Does it? What do we do when we're powerless? Sometimes we run when we should be crawling. We rush when we should slow down. We cry when we should rejoice. We strive when we should rest. We stress. Anybody ever do that? You ever stress out over something? We stress when we should relax. We condemn when we should set free. We criticize when we should admire. We hate when we should love. You see, being powerless means being human. That's what we are. And the world says, it's okay. It's okay to be there. The world says, well, you're just like everyone else, so it's fine. The world says, what you're going through, just trust your heart. Go with your gut. You see, that's what the world shows us. Because That's what we humans are. You see, the world has one model of being powerless, and God has another model. And Jesus said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Why did I bring that verse out? Because in that moment, Jesus got unplugged from the power of God. He was on his own, and he didn't like it. And what happened? He died. Without the power of God in your life, all you can do is die. And many times, most of the time, it is slow and painful. Without the power of God, there's no life, there's no purpose, there's no point. Oh, but you can try. There are things you can do. You can do things in your own power. You can push through. You can buckle up. You can put your head down, right? These are things we can do. But in the end, if you're going with your own power, it still ends in death. Or you try to find another source of power, a quick fix. You rely upon someone to make the decisions for you, to do the things for you, to supply for you. Or you start trying to find things like little generators in your life that give you a little boost from time to time. But these are evil and worldly powers. That's why we have addictions. We have quick fixes. We also have the crowd. Just follow the crowd, wherever they're leading. That's got to be good. Our power that we go after is sometimes it promises us life, but it too ends in death. And I don't think death is a good plan. I don't think it's a good goal. I don't want to go with my life just slowly dying. Is that really the plan? Is that really the goal? I don't think it's a good goal. You see, only Jesus Christ had a purpose in his death. Because through it, he laid the foundation for you and me. That's the only one where death had a purpose. We need life. But Jesus knew for just a moment what it was like to live without power. And when he lost power, what did Jesus do? He questioned God. God, why have you abandoned me? Now, that's not sin. Asking God a question is not sin. Jesus is sinless, okay? Just be very clear with that. But when he lost power, he's like, what is this feeling of emptiness, hollowness? What is this feeling? God, where are you? You were here all through my years walking on earth, and now all of a sudden, you're gone. What do you do when you feel powerless? Like our Sunday school teacher out there with a young child. What do you do when you've tried everything? What do you do when you feel powerless? Do you question God? Again, asking God, God, what's going on? There's nothing wrong with that. Or do you go to the next phase? You blame God. Or do you go to the next phase? You blaspheme God. Jesus felt powerless on the cross. But what's really fascinating about this moment where he felt powerless, when he was at his lowest, when he was about to give his life, in his moment of complete powerlessness, Jesus did his greatest work. When Jesus was completely powerless, he did his greatest work. Huh. That's interesting. So not only what do you do when you feel powerless, but where do you feel powerless? Do you feel powerless at work? Do you feel like you're being run over by a boss or management or middle management or middle management, whatever you have in your place? You feel like you're being used. You're not getting ahead, not listened to. Or maybe you're a boss and nobody's listening to you. and you're just dealing with red tape everywhere, and you're not getting ahead, and you have to pay this fee and this tax. Or maybe there's someone at work that you want to share with, you want to love on, but you don't want to open your mouth because what if they laugh at me? What if they don't understand? What if I give a testimony and they mock me? Do you feel powerless at work? What do we usually do when we feel that? We get a different job. We avoid it. We move on. Do you feel powerless in your marriage? Things are fading. All you do is argue. Constantly fighting. Don't see eye to eye. The spark is gone. Do you feel like you just don't know how to communicate? Feel like you're on different sides of the planet? Do you feel powerless in your marriage? Do you feel powerless in parenting? That should be 100% participation right there. Do you have that rascal of a child or two or three of them? That everything you do to try to guide them and love them, it just blows up in your face. They don't listen. And they might be two. They might be 22. They might be 42. Still living in your basement. Do you feel powerless in parenting? And then that rolls right into your marriage, because maybe you and your spouse are disagreeing about how we're supposed to raise our kids. And it just blows up there in the marriage. And then you're like, well, I'm just going to go to work and ignore all this. And then your boss starts yelling at you. You feel powerless? Anyone feeling this quite yet? Do you feel powerless in your family? Not just your marriage, your kids, but maybe your parents or adult parents. Or adult parents. Maybe you're an adult child. Hopefully your parents are adult. Maybe your cousins. You have a family gathering and you don't want to go because you know what's going to happen. You have that phone call that you're supposed to make, and you don't want to make it because you know exactly what they're going to say, what they're going to do. Do you feel powerless in your family? Do you feel powerless in your church? Maybe you just, I don't want to go to church. Like me, when sometimes I get that gloom, I just want to take a nap. And then you come to church, and then, bless his heart, my son Isaiah up here, you know, this guy, the Energizer Bunny, you just see him oozing worship and praise, and he's smiling and he's singing at the top of his lungs. He's giving his all, and you're standing there going, where did he get that? Why don't I have that? We look around in the church and we start comparing, and there's that couple with the perfect marriage. Yeah, whatever. The perfect marriage, you know? And you see the love and the affection, and their kids are all sitting there just in perfect obedience, right? And they're successful. And then there's people that are ministering in the church. They love to do what they do, and you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You feel powerless. You read this thing and you're like, I'm supposed to, in the church, I should be alive. And yet I come here and I don't see what they see. I don't hear what they hear. I just don't feel the life. I feel powerless. Do you feel powerless in your finances? You got no control. Do you feel powerless in your relationships? Maybe you're young, you're single, you're trying to build friendships, establish some relationships. But everything just keeps on blowing up in your face. How about decision making? Do you feel powerless in your decision making? Every decision you make goes wrong. You're just not getting ahead. Does anyone feel powerless? Where do you feel empty and alone and on your own? Church, you need to hear me, that Jesus felt that. He felt that on the cross. So is that God's plan for you and me? Just to be helpless and powerless our whole life? No. Absolutely not. That is not the plan. Jesus did that for our sake. That's not God's plan for you and I, to be powerless in every situation. And if you believe that's God's plan for you, then you're believing a lie. Or you've grown accustomed to your own power. Oh, I can do this. I've done this before. I've had worse situations. You can accomplish things under your own might, under your own strength, under your own power. Maybe that's why. Or you're running on a flawed source of power. Again, sometimes we run on another human being. Our attachments to others, they're the ones that make the decisions and support us and tell us where to go and what to do. Maybe they even provide for us. Or there's other things, another flawed source of power that gives us a little boost, makes us feel a little better, just for a moment, just to give us a little life for just a moment or two. Or you just don't understand the power of God. You just don't understand the power of God. And that, I think, is what this series is. The power of God. At least I really hope it is. That's the starting point. We're pulling on this thread. The power of God. What is it? Where do we get it? When do we get it? What does it look like? How do we use it? What's the point? So that was an intro. Here you go, 30-minute intro into the series. So I don't want to just end it right there. I want to give you just a couple of thoughts just to plant into your mind as we move on into the coming weeks of understanding the power of God. So I'll wrap it up with just a couple of thoughts. Let me give you a starting point for the power of God. This week I was asked to do a little chapel for the Christian school in Cumberland. And I knew kind of the subject I want, but when I was sitting down preparing, God led me to a verse, which I knew the verse, and I read it. I'm like, oh, that's perfect for that message. And it also hit me, wow, I think that's the perfect starting point. And maybe this is the theme verse, I don't know, for this series. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what? Weakness. My power, God's power works best in weakness. I think I have to say that a third time. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. What's my weakness? My weakness is hospitals. Hospitals, I am powerless. I'm terrified of hospitals. I don't want to be there. But you know what, church? If you're in the hospital or a loved one is, give me a call. I'm there. I'm there in a heartbeat. I want to be alongside you. I want to pray with you. I want to be with you. What is that? That is not my strength. That is God's. And I'm glad to boast about my weakness. So don't do me a favor and say, well, I just won't bother Pastor Jason with that. No. Allow God's strength to be revealed. That's my weakness. I'm going to boast about it. What's your weakness? You know what my other weakness is, and I've told you about this? I am terrified of speaking in front of people. I don't like running a service. I don't like being in charge. I don't like being the one that has to do the talking and decide to do things. I don't like it at all. Let me go back there and help with food. Or let me be in the sound booth. I want to be in the background. This is my weakness. And you shake your head and you're like, yeah, whatever. This is my weakness. Speaking in front of people. Then how is it happening? That is the power of God.
Well, Pastor, your power could use a little tweaking here and there, but
I'm yeah. John, you want to come up here and wrap this up? I use the power of God. I live on the power of God. So where did the power of God come from? And again, I've told you this story. 8 years old. Fusion Bible Camp, which now I am the director of. That's fascinating. 8 years old. I can still remember the youth were in the big sanctuary building. We were in Chitek. And the kids, we were in the cafeteria in the back corner. And I remember all the walls were kind of white, and there was these wooden benches, and they were painted like blue or green or red or maybe all of those. And there would be about three or four of us sitting on a bench, and, you know, we were lined up, and I remember the speaker, whoever it was, you know, gave a little Bible story and did the little hand puppets and stuff, which terrified me, and then said, "Have you ever given your life to Jesus?" Now, I'm a son of a preacher. I'm a Christian, but I realized I've never actually invited Christ in my life. And so I remember sitting there with my head bowed, my eyes closed, probably repeating some prayer that they laid out for me. And I know my heart said, "Jesus, I need you." And I invited Jesus into my life. And as soon as I did that, I felt something.
"Okay, Pastor, show me. Show me what that was."
I can't. I felt something. What is it? It's the presence of God. I felt Him, who's out there everywhere, actually being in me. I can't explain it. I felt the presence of God. And it ignited. It's like, you know, you guys with a little brush pile, you know. You put on the gasoline, right? And then it's... It's like there was something in me ready to be ignited. Like it was put there before the creation of the first man. It was like God had something inside me that was just longing for a spark. And that spark was Jesus Christ. That spark was the Holy Spirit coming within me. And I felt it. And all of a sudden, it exploded. And the power of God was revealed. Now, for me as an 8-year-old kid, I spoke in tongues. I began to have the ability to speak a language I did not understand as an 8-year-old kid. Now, is that the only way we know we have the power of God? I don't believe so. I believe the power of God can be revealed many different ways, which is what we're probably going to talk about. But in that moment, I accepted Christ. I felt His presence, and I knew I had the power of God at 8 years old. And I find it fascinating. Because Jesus said, what heart set do you have to have to get to enter the kingdom of heaven? You must have the faith of a what? Child. There's something about childlike. I was 8 years old. Did I understand? Could I quote all these scriptures about receiving Christ and His presence and speaking in tongues? Absolutely not. I didn't know. I just realized I needed Jesus. And I surrendered to Him. There's something about childlike faith. And this might sound discouraging as I talk to a majority of adults here. It has to be tough as an adult to surrender to Jesus and the Holy Spirit for the first time. Because we are strong. We're set. We're established. We know stuff. We're stubborn. Some of you are like, "You don't know my kid." My 8-year-old, it's got to be hard to surrender to God. But where we are weak, that is where God reveals Himself with power. Last story, and then we're done. Then we can pray for food and eat. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. About 20 years ago, I was... invited to go windsurfing. We live in Forest Lake, and we were invited to the lake, some guys from the church, and actually one of the pastors said, "Jason, you want to go windsurfing?" "Sure." And I remember we went on the shore, and this pastor, this friend, we put the windsurfing board on the ground, and he told me where to stand, and he said, "Once you get out there, you know, you get up on your feet, and then you grab this handle, and you pull the sail up, and then you catch the wind." He explained everything to me. He showed me the rule book. He quoted scriptures. This pastor guided me, told me everything I needed to do. And then he pushed me out into the lake. And I paddled out there a little bit. And the first thing I recognized as I got up onto my knees and, you know, tried to stand up, humans were not designed to stand on water. I don't know if you know that. Sure, you can put a log on there or a board, but we are not designed to balance on water. And then, do you also know what's required to windsurf?
Wind.
You know, I would have been glad to do it on a still day. You know, get there, balance, pull it up. Look at me. I ain't going nowhere. Now you laugh. But sometimes that's what I see. I see a bunch of people going nowhere. Because what do you need to windsurf? You need the wind. And the wind feels like your adversary. God feels like your enemy. We think he hates us. We think he's trying to destroy us. We think he's against us. His wind is pounding us and trying to push us over as we're just trying to balance. And then some pastor comes along and says, pull up your sail. He had a joke. And so I grab this thing and I have to try to pull it up, but the wind is pushing it down. And I get it up to here, and then it hits, and I'm back in the water. Up and down for an hour, trying to grab the wind. And I'm failing every single time. The Bible compares the Holy Spirit, the power of God, which we'll get into, to wind. And you feel like the wind, you know, you felt the wind this morning. You feel like the storms of life are pounding you. And you're like, I can't handle this. Why is everything going wrong? But what you haven't learned to do is to harness the power of the wind. You see, I'm supposed to pull that thing up and find perfect balance with God. I'm supposed to lean into God and allow him to propel me wherever he wants me to lead. Maybe this is a terrible analogy. You know why? Because I never learned to windsurf. Half an hour, I was exhausted, and I gave up. And I see that as I look across the congregation. Some of you have just given up. You're exhausted. All you feel like you're doing is fighting. But what you haven't done is leaned into the power of God. It's right there blowing in your life. So maybe this is the perfect analogy. Church, get up. Get on your feet. And I know it doesn't feel like where you're at is stable. Over here would be better. Over there would be better. If I was just on land, that would be better. Get up where you're at and find that balance. And then say, God, I need you. And I know you're all around me. I just need to grip your son. And I need to grab the Spirit. And I need to lean into it. And God, wherever you take me, take me. Church, get up. Harness the power of God. If you feel like God is trying to knock you down, maybe you're right. Maybe he is. But the power of God is right there to pick you right back up. If you grab it, if you lean into it, if you surrender to God and his power. Because to be weak is to show his power. Jesus, in his weakest moment, showed us the greatest power that man has ever known. God, make me weak. Show me my weakness. Bring me to my weak points. Because I know wherever you are, there's an outlet. And I get to plug in. I know wherever you are, there's the wind, and I get to grab it. And I get to build upon the foundation. I get to do the work that you have, not with my strength, my power, but your power, God. That is what I need. I'm going to pray here in a moment. Pray for, conclude the message. Pray to dismiss. Pray to bless the food. But I believe as this series goes on, normally my practice is to go to the door for this series. I'm just going to remain here. And if there's just something you want to, I can pray with you with, I'd be glad to do it. If you have a short question, because sometimes a lot of people come up, you know, if you want to go back to the Genesis chapter 1 and make me work through Revelation, I don't know if I have the time for that. Besides, there's food today. Amen. But I want to, but I want to make myself available for the power of God. And that terrifies me. Because I don't know what God wants to do. And maybe there's nothing today, but next week as we get into this, there's going to be questions. God's going to put in your heart something we need to pray about. I have no idea where it's going to go, but we are going to focus on the power of God, and we're going to learn to catch that wind, catch that spirit. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I even, you know, as I hear the rain on the roof, Lord, and this morning the wind was blowing, Lord, sometimes the storms come and we're terrified. But Lord, with the storms, there's water, there's rain that we need desperately. Lord, and I think of great inventors who saw lightning bolts in heaven and went, wow, can we harness that power? And Lord, we have wind turbines to harness the wind. Lord, in a storm, we can look at it and be terrified. Or we can stand out on our porch in the middle of a tornado and go, God, you're pretty cool. God, you're powerful. And God, I want that power in me. So, Lord, I pray everyone here today, and when they come next week, they come through the door, Lord, that they're prepared to expose their weakness. They're prepared to maybe open up either to you or to others and say, you know what? This is where I'm weak, because Paul taught us in Corinthians that I boast in my weakness, because that's where you're made strong. And Lord, I believe that is the starting point to the power of God in our lives. That is the starting point to miracles, to healings, to breakthroughs, to revelation. Lord, is when we admit, I got nothing. God, I need you and only you. So, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to teach, Lord, and I pray for the opportunities this week, Lord, that we look at ourselves and look through the lens of our weakness and your strength. And I pray, Lord, that nobody here quits. That if they're 8s or 88, Lord, it doesn't matter. We can all surrender to you, and you can fill us with your presence. And, Lord, we can experience the power of God to do your work upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, according to the plan, the blueprint that you have to fill the earth with your glory. It's all for your glory. It's all for your kingdom. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we're about to move into a time of fellowship and food. Lord, we pray you bless the food and all the hands that have prepared it and those that are out there setting the place for us, Lord. We thank you for that. And as we move into a business meeting, Lord, we thank you for Grace Community Church, the blessings you have for us. So I pray, Lord, you be with us. You bless everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Amen.